In the Irish Republic, the written constitution of 1937, can only be changed by a referendum of all the population, and this is something that happens fairly frequently, I suppose. The original, the Irish Constitution of 1937, is quite strong on the role of the family. And in fact, those articles in regard to the family and the centrality of the family remain in place in the Constitution. But in recent years, I think even people from around the world will be aware of a series of scandals in relation to the treatment of children going back over generations. And so both in a church context and also indeed in a civil context. And so the issue of how Irish society, particularly through its laws, could reflect the paramount care of children and respect for children has become quite an important issue in recent years. And so it's out of that context that the proposal to amend the Constitution arose.
Now, what amendments is the text of the referendum proposing?
I haven't got the full text in front of me, Eimear, as I speak, but the effect of the changes is to allow the state to intervene in some instances in order to protect the rights of children. So, if you like, there are three parties in this legal relationship. There are children. There's the family into which they have been born, and the state. And the question then is whether or not the Constitution needed to be changed in order to protect the rights of children. If you like, the older and the existing Constitution sets out to protect the rights of children by ensuring the primacy or the paramountcy of the family, in the belief, which is usually true, that it is through supporting the family that you best support the rights of the child. However, there are some instances, particularly in relation to families, for example, which have broken down and when the children are taken into care, and there are some legal difficulties about having those children who are fostered actually adopted by another family, because the original family into which they were born still remains, if you like, in existence, at least in the sense that both parents are still alive. So a number of instances have arisen in recent years where the existing constitutional arrangements appear to make it more difficult, particularly in the case of adoption, to have the children adopted while their parents were still alive.
The bishops have come out with a welcome for these amendments. It has said that it would support a yes vote in this referendum. However, it also conditioned its support for this referendum. It was a very cautious yes, wasn't it?
That's true, and in fact, some of the papers have kind of said, you know, bishops call for a yes vote, which is kind of shorthand, but is a bit black and white, if you like. When this issue came up, the bishops discussed it, and they decided to seek the advice of constitutional lawyers, and so I think the statement that the bishops approved recently is quite a subtle and I think it's a subtle change in the sense that it's not saying yes or no. For example, the bishops begin by saying that any constitutional change could have wide-ranging and unforeseen consequences, and that if that were to happen, it could undermine the careful balance between the rights of children, parents and children, and between the rights of parents or guardians and the state. The bishops then went on to say that, on the other hand, the Constitution has an important role in signalling the priorities and fundamental values of our society. And I suppose one of those, Eimear, today, or one of those areas about which there is an enhanced sensitivity is around the rights of the child, and that's reflected both obviously in the United Nations declarations and so on, but it also reflects the fact that children have been abused, and their interests at times have not always been given in practice the paramount importance that they deserve. In fact, this document of the bishops explicitly refers to a legacy of failure. So, in one sense, putting the rights of children explicitly into the Irish Constitution is a way of, as the documents have said, signalling almost symbolically the rights of a child, so that they are no longer implicit, but that they are actually stated explicitly.
Were you in some way surprised by the backlash from wider Irish society against this change to the constitution? There's been a very strong push for a no vote from wider society. Has this in some way surprised you, given, as you said, the legacy of not only within the church, but also within state and indeed wider civil society of letting children down, particularly vulnerable children?
Well, I wouldn't overstate that, Eimear, because in fact, all of the political parties, I think without exception, have supported this amendment to the Constitution. And I think there has been a reaction, it is true, from some parents and from some segments in society, which I think are distrustful of the role of the state in regard to family matters and in regard to children. And I think their opposition to the proposal reflects that suspicion. However, the bishops in their statement say it is clear that the wording of the proposed amendment on children is not intended to undermine the current constitutional balance between the rights of parents and children, or between parents and the state. And then they go on to say, if unforeseen or unintended consequences do emerge in time, the remedy of further constitutional amendment or amending legislation is available to mitigate the consequences of any such developments. So, and I suppose in the end, the bishop said that there's a strong case for signalling the value which society and the church attach to children's rights. So it's I think on balance this statement thinks that there's a gain for children, but that gain to children is not at the expense of the rights of the family or of parents.
We saw the church within its own structure drawing up those rigid standards for safeguarding children within the church. In a way, now society is catching up. It is doing something concrete to make sure that the kind of abuse that took place in the past cannot take place in the future. So we are starting to move ahead, heading in the right direction, in the words.
That is my view, though I suppose some people would be sceptical as to whether or not constitutional change of itself will create a new environment that will make the protection and the safeguarding of children more effective. But I suppose each element of society have its own contribution to make, and I think if the law can help create that climate, then I think it's important that it would do so. But at the end, you know, there's also a strong view that what families and what children most need are practical support, you know, in terms of the resources which the state makes available to families that are under pressure, and particularly at a time of recession, families and children I think pay a heavy price for, you know, the financial problems that are out there. And while government always say that they will protect the vulnerable, whether it's children or families or older people, it doesn't always happen in practice. And so a change in the Constitution would have to be also matched by, you know, a continuing, you know, allocation of resources to support families, particularly those under stress.